98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. American built for American dreams.
Time for the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show to take over. You get the factual knowledge you need to engage on Zoom today, or actually in front of somebody socially distanced with a mask, on the sports debates that are going on and the news you have to have, and then Wolf and I give our opinions as well.
So just a quick update here. The NBA will announce the schedule for the second half of the regular season today at 1 o'clock Arizona time, so 3 p.m. Eastern. What will you guys be looking for?
I kind of want to see, of all things, the Lakers schedule, because according to Basketball Reference, for the first half of the season, the Lakers actually had the easiest schedule in the entire NBA. So I'm kind of interested how much harder does it get in the second half to see if the Suns are in a position to catch them.
Is it okay if I just go ahead and celebrate the fact that there is a schedule that is being released? I mean, honestly, right now, I've come to a point I don't want to take anything for granted. The fact that we've gotten this far, once again, without any major hiccups.
I'm just going to stop you right there before you jinx it.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even believe you did that too.
Bobby Hurley on line one.
That's just brutal.
Devin Booker was snubbed from the All-Star reserves, while Chris Paul will make his first All-Star appearance as a Sun. LeBron James actually tweeted last night that Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in the league. So after Booker was not named an All-Star, what does ESPN's Kendrick Perkins think? He told you guys this morning.
This is the problem that I have with the All-Star vote, is that the goalposts get moved every single year, especially when it comes down to the reserves, because the coaches vote the reserves in. And one minute we're hearing, the problem is that Devin Booker they weren't winning. That's why we didn't vote him in. So right now the Phoenix Suns are a top five team in the Western Conference, and he still don't get voted in.
Do you think Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in the NBA?
I don't know how you argue it when it's back-to-back years. The coaches have watched what he did both pre-bubble, when he didn't have a lot of support from the organization with coaches, better coaches and players, and then what he did in the bubble last year to establish himself, look, this is real. And then what he's now doing with a leader like Chris Paul, the efficiency is skyrocketed. How do you say it's somebody else? Maybe Kendrick Perkins' other guy, Sabonis, but I think he's a distant second or third.
Yeah, I don't know if you could say he's the most disrespected player in the NBA. He's certainly the biggest snub in this All-Star game. There's no doubt about it.
Tiger Woods is recovering from lengthy surgery to repair significant injuries to his right leg he suffered in a single car rollover crash in a Los Angeles suburb yesterday. Here's Tony Finau.
We all know he's a strong cookie, physically, mentally. So if someone's going to get through this, he will, and be back for the better, I'm sure. But, you know, our thoughts and prayers, I'm sure as a whole, all the players I can speak on their behalf are with Tiger.
Do you think Tiger can make another comeback after his car crash?
Man, I hate to talk about it.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, you asked the question, so no. Now, I'm the same person that said after the situation with Elon and the fire hydrant, I said he's never going to win another major, and he did. But, so, you know, my predictions are worthless with Tiger Woods, but I just can't imagine how you come back from that injury when you just started rehab from back surgery. Now you've shut down all of your back surgery rehab. He is the type of guy that's totally motivated by this and will try to come back because of it. What's a comeback? Does it mean getting a sponsor's exemption and being invited to play in a tour event? I think that might happen. But when we're talking about making the cut and competing at any tournament, I don't.
Anytime you talk about Tiger Woods, you're talking about majors and showing up at majors and being competitive, being a guy that could possibly
wearing red on Sundays
win a major. Exactly right. He's 45 years old right now, and this is going to be years. I believe this recovery, this rehab, is going to be years. And because of that, I don't think he'll ever be the same.
Yesterday, Good Morning Football debated which team is the perfect fit for Patrick Peterson. Here's Peter Schrager.
Arizona might want to bring him back, but if they do not, and if they can't come to terms with him, I think the perfect fit for Patrick Peterson is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Do you agree?
No.
I have to agree with Doug Lee Snow because I do believe that Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles and all the man cover that they love to play right there, close the middle of the field with a safety, play man cover. That is Todd Bowles for the most part. And because of that, I would say Kansas City is not the best fit. They're the second best fit.
I mean, think about what that phrase says. You're just wrong, Peter. I'm sorry. You're a pretty knowledgeable guy, but you're just wrong. Because he had his best years under Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator. So he's walking into a system he already knows on a – or would have to think someone would agree that's a Super Bowl caliber team. Okay? So what
– just a little bit.
And then when you add in it's Tampa, it's the South for a guy from Louisiana, it's a no state income tax type of state. There, I mean, every reason lines up to say that's the perfect fit. The Chiefs aren't a bad fit. They fit totally. But when you're talking about the number one perfect fit, perfect means the best. It's Tampa Bay. And any other opinion is just plain wrong.
So we're going to play a both, neither, either. But with three people. So
okay.
I guess it's not really a both.
Okay.
Kenyon Drake, Patrick Peterson, Hassan Reddick. Who do you think the Cardinals are most likely to keep in 2021?
Hassan Reddick.
That was easy for you.
Yeah, I mean, that was, yeah. So
you're going with an either.
So I guess I'm going with, yeah, either.
Because it's one of them.
Right. Hassan Reddick.
Boy, that's a good question.
Didn't seem like it from how fast Wolf answered it.
I could see the transition.
I'm going to go neither. I don't think any of the three are going to be on the team next year. I think that they want to upgrade from Kenyon Drake. I think that Hassan Reddick will make more than they're willing to match, even if they do tag him. And I think with Pat P, the only way he comes back is if he doesn't see the offers he's looking for. And I'm not going to say the Cardinals will get him on the cheap, but I think the Cardinals want to get him at a significantly reduced rate than what Pat P thinks is market value.
I'm just going to take the question under protest right now because obviously you can't have three people, three answers involved in both, neither, or either. You can't.
I somewhat agree because both is two.
You can't.
That would be all right. Neither either.
Exactly. All. Now,
you could have played all neither either.
It wouldn't be either.
Yeah.
It's either or.
Yeah, you're right. It's got to be two. That's the same as if you didn't know with the Sith. There can only be two.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
The deuce.
Coming up next, Tom Chambers. What do you think,
Tommy,
about the D-Book snub? Is it your number one?
Wake up, Tommy.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf's The One. The number one story of the day.
The number two story of the day is that Tom Chambers is on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line.
Tommy.
Member of the Suns Ring of Honor. The number one story of the day is Devin Booker is not an NBA All-Star. And that is by the vote of the coaches of the NBA. Now, I would have voted him an All-Star. Ron Wolfley would have voted him an All-Star. Tom Chambers, would you have voted Devin Booker an All-Star?
I just thought it was a given. I mean, I can't even imagine not voting for Devin Booker the way he's playing, the way this team is playing. I mean, we've talked about it. He looks like an All-Star for the next 10 years. And when I read this thing, I'm like, are you kidding me? How can that even be possible? As well as this team is playing, and as good as he is playing, it's just there's no explanation for it.
First of all, Tommy, the fact that you actually got up to do this broadcast right now, we got to say thank you, number one, too, okay? So thank you for being awake, Tommy, and for actually answering your phone. We appreciate that. Number two, what would you change? What would you change in regard to how All-Stars are picked in the NBA, if anything?
Well, I hear now that it's not just the coaches, that it's actually and there's a group of sports writers and the players get a vote, and there's a lot of different ways that I haven't read up on it, but something needs to be looked at because that's ridiculous. Now there's others, you know, back east that, you know, obviously aren't quite as dear to our heart, but I seriously, like, as soon as we hang up here, I'm going to look this thing up and figure out what the heck, because it's got to be broke down. There is no way in the world that Devin Booker is not an All-Star this year. It's broke somehow, something.
I can tell you.
It's one thing with the starters because that's, you know, a kind of a popular thing.
Right.
But the starters are pretty accurate. I mean, the guys that are starting this game are pretty accurate. The one in the West that we should probably touch on, obviously Anthony Davis is not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I thought had to go in for a big, much like I went in, you know, years ago and became the MVP of the game for Ralph Sampson. But I hear that they can absolutely pick Devin Booker up. It's a shame that he's going to have to be picked up, but I believe that he'll get in because Anthony Davis is not going to play.
So you want to check on how this happened. Kendrick Perkins went somewhere that I admit, we didn't expect this morning, TC.
We got to start having people in those rooms when these votes start coming in to make sure they're not getting tampered with, okay? Because there's no reason, no way that no one could tell me that Devin Booker shouldn't be in over Zion.
Are you willing to be a voting booth monitor for the NBA coaches so we can see the transparency we've all been demanding?
Absolutely, that is perfect. I mean, I could that is perfect. It's like the hanging shad, you know. I mean, what the heck happened here? But no, I think that's a perfect explanation. I mean, what in the world are these people thinking? I mean, it really is. Now Zion's had a terrific year, but just like Devin did for the past 5 years, their team's no good. So there's just no explanation for this whatsoever.
That's what I love about this. Either Devin Booker doesn't belong in all these years because the Suns are losing, and now they're winning so he gets in, or if you're going to apply that stigma to Devin, you've got to apply it to Zion. This year it's very strange. It's okay, which one is it? What does Devin have to do? And the only thing that worries me, Tom, is do you think the day ever comes where Devin Booker says, I don't get the attention I deserve playing in Phoenix?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with Phoenix. I really don't. I mean, we've had, you know, three All-Stars on the team in Phoenix before. This team is finally just getting some recognition now. It's just been hard because, you know, I mean, with this whole COVID and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, everybody knows who Devin Booker is. I mean, all of his peers know who he is. And if it's the coaches disrespecting him, I feel bad for the Hornets tonight because he'll probably go for 60.
I'm thinking, you know, the same thing.
It's going to be one of those games where he's like, you know me now? kind of a deal. But it's just so sad for him because he's done it all the right way from day one stepping here on the court for the Phoenix Suns. He's done it the right way. I mean, he keeps his head down. He goes to work. He does whatever he can to help his team. He's great in the community. He speaks well. I mean, there's nothing that Devin Booker could improve on, in my opinion, to help him get on this All-Star team or to be a better player than he is today.
You know, not only do you have a great ranch, Tommy, but you also are a guy that I think gives great advice. If, in fact, you were giving advice to Devin Booker, what would you say to him if you could speak to him directly?
I can't hear you, Wolf.
You, what?
That's a good thing.
There you go. You're doing the Shane Doan on me.
my goodness, that is so good. I was just saying, Tommy.
Everybody knows what that is.
If you had to give Devin Booker advice, what advice would you give him right now?
I mean, just keep your head up because he's doing everything right. I can't think of anything that I could change in Devin's game, the way he carries himself, the way he conducts himself. The way he is on the court, I mean, he's tough. He's, you know, he doesn't take crap off nobody. And yet the guys like him because of that attitude, which they should. So I there's nothing. And that's hard because I can usually pick something out on everybody, and I can't pick anything out of Devin that I would change right now. Not even his hairstyle. I mean, I can't look at him and change anything. And that's it's just crazy because that's how good this guy is.
You know, this was a shock. Since you're saying that number of positive things about Devin Booker. I want to double down on it. If you just tuned in, Suns Ring of Honor member Tom Chambers joining Duggan Wolf. He's with Fox Sports Arizona. When we, the reason why we wanted to have Kendrick Perkins on early this morning was because he, just like you, was outraged. He sent out a tweet saying this is ridiculous that Devin Booker isn't an All-Star. So we reached out, we had him on, and then he dropped this nugget.
Devin Booker is just built differently than everyone else. He reminds me of Kobe Bryant. And when I say that, I'm talking about his mentality.
And, he wasn't trying to compare the legacy or where they're both going in their careers or anything like that. But to even drop that name from a mentality standpoint, do you see similar things?
Well, absolutely. I mean, even in the moves he has in the post, but the way he conducts himself out there, he's not trying to make friends out there on the basketball court, nor was Kobe. In fact, we all thought Kobe was not a very nice person until that last year of his career, you know, but and that's just the edge he wanted to keep. Devin wants to keep that edge as well, but he's much more likable, if you will. But I think Kendrick, and I listen to Kendrick sometimes, I'm like, what are you talking about? And yet, both of those things that he did, I mean, obviously watching the votes and stuff, Kendrick's getting good. And for him to say that is terrific. And absolutely, does he remind me of Kobe in his moves and his persona? Yes.
Tommy, my last question for you. What do you think about the Suns overall right now? I mean, honestly, where do you project them?
Shane Doan, you're killing me, man.
Oh, no!
Yeah. It's only when Wolf talks that it happens.
Stop it!
Is.
The Suns, where do you look at the Suns at the end of the season? Where do you think they're going to be in the Western Conference?
I think they're going to be right where they're at. You know, I mean, Portland lost another game last night, and so they're, you know, what, a game and a half behind them or whatever. But I like them right there. You know, I mean, fighting for the home court advantage in that fourth and fifth spot for the rest of the season. So I think they're going to be there. And if they get the home court, you know, advantage, that's going to be just a tremendous season for them.
All we do, and you can imagine why, on this show is talk about the Chris Paul effect and Devin Booker. Who's number three? Like, what's the third topic about the Suns that you wish more people – it could be a player, it could be a subject matter, a coach, whatever. What's the third topic about the Phoenix Suns for 2021?
It's Monty. I mean, he's just tremendous. He really is. I mean, he just seems to push all the right buttons, say all the right things, does it for all the right reasons. I mean, you can't help but love that guy and want to play hard and go to battle for that guy. So I'd have to say it's Monty.
And Tommy, I owe you, man. Thank you, dude. Appreciate you coming on
all
the
right,
podcast
guys.
This morning, all right?
See you, TC.
Thank you.
There's Tom Chambers, nice enough to join us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Nissan, go to coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. Coming up next, the best landing spots for Pat P. And I say, no way, GMFB. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's 8:33 right now. If you get a chance, listen at 9 o'clock. I'll tell you more about it when we get there, but we're going to try to do something different for you every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Tell us what you think. It'll last anywhere between 30 minutes to an hour. We'll go for an hour today at 9 o'clock. And again, we'll tell you more when we get there. But tell us what you think coming up either right when it starts or wait until 10 o'clock. Send us a tweet at DugganWolf987 and say, you know, I like this. I'd like to hear more of it. And even if you hate it, we'll do it for a little while longer, I admit, to see. But I think you're going to really enjoy it. Again, it's coming up at 9 o'clock. I don't want to tell you what it is just yet. Patrick Peterson, available.
Patrick Peterson, cornerback, 30 years old.
Peterson hits free agency in the open market for the first time in his career. Pat P isn't quite playing at an elite level right now, as he's allowed an opposing passer rating of 98.2. But despite that, he's still a starting caliber cornerback. Last season, Peterson recorded 61 tackles and 3 interceptions, but he also posted his worst coverage grade since his rookie year, and he led the league in penalties with 12. Peterson has been with the Cardinals for 10 seasons, where he's been a 3-time first-team All-Pro, 8-time Pro Bowler, and made the NFL 2010's All-Decade Team.
No breaking news on the part of anything to do with Patrick Peterson. the Cardinals are still, you know, in the same position that they were before. This is Michael Bidwill last week.
Well, Pat and I have had a number of conversations. I've been very clear we want to have him back. We all know that the salary cap is going to go down. So, again, I think a lot of these veteran players need to work with us. They need to understand that while their salary expectations and their compensation expectations may be one thing, we've got to look at it in the reality that the salary cap is going down.
So that was from Newsmakers Week 2021. But a definitive statement, we want Pat P. back.
Just listening to Michael Bidwill right there, what is the one thing you also think of? Not only the fact that they want him back, but what else that he said, Douglas, that comes to mind?
The fact that he wanted to say specifically that the players have to work with us because the salary right. cap is going down.
Ding, 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 ding. I think that's pretty obvious right there. If you were to just translate that, it's going to be Pat P. It's not going to be what you're making right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to work with us in regard to what we're going to be able to pay you. And is Pat P. going to be willing to do that? That is the question right now. A prophet is never accepted in his hometown. That's the old saying, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? And you have to look at Pat P. right now and think, well, you know what? If I'm going to take a pay cut, why don't I go somewhere else and actually take that pay cut?
You know, it's a really interesting. I don't know what Pat P. is thinking. When you have a family, and we all know what an honor and a pleasure it is to live in a gorgeous city and state like this, then you've already known. I mean, that's the shot right there over the bow. You will be taking a pay cut if you stay. I think he is well resigned to the fact that no one's going to pay him the money he was making, because he was arguably the number one corner in the NFL when he signed that contract. So he's not the number one corner in the NFL right now. But when you talk about perfect fits, that was the subject Peter Schrager brought up on Good Morning Football. And I can't disagree with him more. This isn't the subject, where will he go? The subject is, who is the perfect fit?
Arizona might want to bring him back, but if they do not, and if they can't come to terms with him, I think the perfect fit for Patrick Peterson is the Kansas City Chiefs. Ooh. Let me dig into this a little bit here.
Let me hear this one.
Reason number one, the Chiefs are always aggressive and always looking to add top veteran free agent talent. Over the years, whether it's been Tyrann Mathieu or Le'Veon Bell last year midseason, or Sammy Watkins a few years back when they were still, you know, loaded at wide receiver at the time with other guys. The Chiefs, they never just say, we're good. They always want to add. And I look at this team and say, is there too many stars on it? No, because they find a way to make it work. Andy Reid is the ultimate player's coach and will find a way to make sure everyone feels the love and feels they are getting their props.
Duggan Wolf's
I'm such a joke.
Impromptu.
Oh, oh,
you're so clever. Power pole.
I didn't call for this. Good.
I did.
Oh.
Since you don't like the Chiefs, I want to know what you guys' top five best landing spots for Patrick Peterson.
Oh. Now, I never said I didn't like the Chiefs. I just said they are not the perfect fit.
So give me five.
All right, wait a minute now. Let me think about this.
When one of us doesn't call for it, it takes a second.
Wait a minute. It's impromptu for a reason, based
on it. You guys did call for it at 6:30, though.
I did not call for it. I did not. I said I don't want an impromptu Powerball. I did not, Mel. Go back and check the log.
All right, here we go.
What?
Number five.
You just spent all your time talking, and you weren't thinking about, hey, how do I really get this done? My number five team, the fifth best team that would be a great fit for Patrick Peterson, I am going to go, man, I don't know. I admit I don't know, but I'm going to say the New York Jets.
Okay, listen, ladies and gentlemen.
At number five.
I'm going to go with the New York Giants, interestingly enough. I'm going to go with the Giants and playing a lot more man cover. So I'm going to say the Giants at number five with no conviction.
Number four.
My number four, because they have a need and because it is so close to home and it would be easy to get back and forth, I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh!
Be number four.
That's not bad right there. It really isn't, but you can always go home, can you not, Pappy? You can always go home. The New Orleans Saints.
I thought about
number
that.
Number four.
They didn't make the cut, but I thought about that. I think they're too far from a championship now that Drew Brees is gone.
Drew Brees is
number three.
Number three, again, I don't think it's a bad fit in Kansas City. I just don't think it's the number one perfect fit. I'll put the Chiefs at number three.
Okay, number three, I'm going to put the Arizona Cardinals. All the man cover that we know they love to play. Vance Joseph, close the middle of the field with the safety and play man cover. That suits Pat P.
Number two.
Number two, you just got it wrong a little bit. It is the Arizona Cardinals. Stay at home. Understand what's being built here. Believe in the product that might be getting better. I'm going to say the second best fit for Pat P is the Arizona Cardinals.
There's no doubt about it. The friendship that Pat P has with Tyrann Mathieu right now makes the Kansas City Chiefs number two on the impromptu power poll. It's not just their friendship. It's not just the bat. Just the fact that Tyrann Mathieu is going to go to bat for Pat P. And he has great respect and regard inside that organization. But it's also the fact he's a good fit to their scheme. The Kansas City Chiefs, number two.
There are some familiar ties there. I mentioned Tyrann Mathieu, number 32. Well, he played in Arizona with Patrick Peterson for 5 years. And they go back even further. They played at LSU together for a season. They wore that number seven jersey, which is the most honored number at LSU. And they both have a great bond and great relationship. If you need your LeBron to recruit or your Tom Brady to recruit or someone to say, hey, here's where you should come play, I believe this guy, number 32, the Pied Piper of that defense, can make the phone call to Patrick Peterson. And
he could even start the negotiations, whether they want him to or not. Did anybody like the fact that I mixed that in a little differently, playing
no
sound in the impromptu powerball?
Right,
number one.
And the number one thing that you need to know about this morning, or the number one, I'm used to saying that every time I hear Vince say that, or the number one place for Pat P to go, that was kind of like Pavlov's dog
just,
right there,
that was.
Is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've got the guy that brought out the best in Pat P and Todd Bowles. They got a head coach in Bruce Arians that he knows and loves. It's without a doubt Tampa Bay.
I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, Bolts. Bolts.
Say what?
As in Dodd.
Oh.
Bolts. Right now, if you had to come up with a power poll, and we're not doing it. We have no time for the impromptu power poll. But if we had to, I would put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number one.
I would too.
And I'd put the Kansas City Chiefs at number two.
No, I have
two.
Cardinals at two.
Now, I said, once again, we have no time to do it. I didn't call for it. Just referenced it. There's a difference.
That's clearly all it took for Maloney and Minch to dictate to us an impromptu power poll. Coming up next, the Diamondbacks Senior Vice President and Assistant General Manager, Amiel Sade. You ready for baseball? Are we ready to compete with the Dodgers and the Padres? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf Mornings on the home of Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Diamondbacks front office focus.
Right now, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line, Amiel Sade, Diamondbacks Senior Vice President and Assistant General Manager. Amiel, it's been about 4 or 5 months since you talked to us. What have you missed about us the most?
Oh.
That's the toughest question of the day.
How's life? How you doing?
Baseball and hearing
Absolutely.
Your lovely voices.
Thank you.
Hey, Amiel, you know, the old saying, in order to know where you're going, you need to know where you've been. Having said that, in your opinion, what happened in 2020?
Oh, what happened? It's a lot to probably unravel. And look, we're looking forward to 2021, I think. I mean, there were so many. Obviously, it was a 60-game season. And when you run into a couple rough stretches as you do in a 162-game season, it just gets magnified in a 60-game season. And I think we ran into a couple of those early, then kind of rebounded, and then hit another one late, and we just couldn't recover. And so, you know, in a normal 162 games, you get a chance to recover, but we didn't get that opportunity last year. So just looking forward to 2021.
So since you're looking ahead, why do you feel it'll be different?
It's a good question. I mean, I think that, it's been pretty well documented of some of the struggles that we had, both offensively and on the pitching staff. And I think people I think when you have 60 games, people put pressure on themselves, and I think they'll be able to pace themselves a little bit differently. I think that the, you know, hopefully we don't run into the same issue we had last year with the shutdown, and I think that affected some players. So I do think just the, you know, we have some veterans here that are used to a normal spring training and a normal season. And, you know, and I think just coming into camp, looking at some of these guys early on, I mean, again, this is just a quick snapshot, my blink look. I mean, guys look like they're in great shape. And, you know, it's a couple days here, but it does look like there's energy back. And it looks like the D-backs team of 2019 and even early in the spring last year in 2020.
Amiel, it seems to me, and it's one of my concerns, you need a lot of guys to have bounce-back seasons. And you were talking about the veterans right there. If you had to pick one veteran to have a bounce-back season that you had to have it from them, whom would that be?
It's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, when we talk about bounce-backs, I think that, you know, it's probably – you know, even just getting back to being themselves. And I think one of the guys for me that's really important to our team is Eduardo Escobar. Mm. I think Eduardo's energy, the way he plays, I think both offensively and defensively, he just wasn't there last year. And I think he'd admit that. It just wasn't the same year. And I think, you know, Eduardo missed probably a couple home runs by inches and early in the season. And I'm not sure if, you know, all of a sudden that starts to kind of weigh on you. And, but I just think having him back, really, you know, he brings a lot to our team and I'd be excited to see. And he looks unbelievable right now. Mm. Body looks in great shape and a lot of energy. So we're excited about him.
I hear the siren. You're not getting pulled over, are you? We don't want to interrupt anything.
No, just walking the back patio out
here. Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm Amiel Sadeh joining Doug and Wolf this morning. He's the assistant general manager, senior vice president. I tried to make Derek Hall nervous there for a second, of the Arizona Diamondbacks. I want to know, when you look at this year, and kind of based on what Wolf just said, I think another name there is obviously Ketel Marte. You guys seem highly confident moving him around does not affect the offensive numbers. Why?
You know, it's funny because I think that we just – look, I mean, he had a great season in 2019, and everybody was really concerned about moving him to center field. And he told us, tell me where you want me to play and I'm ready for it. And he's never once expressed any frustration about being moved around. I think some of the great players in the game have been, you see that a lot of them move around a little bit, Cody Bellinger being one, but I think he's open-minded to it. And again, like, you know, one of our probably big things is to make sure Ketel is comfortable with a lot of what we talk about. And that's, you know, before we kind of thrust something on him, we have conversations with him, and he's always been great from the beginning. And I think he likes the fact that, you know, we can count on him in different positions.
Amiel, what's your biggest concern right now, scoring runs or preventing runs?
It's a good question. I think, I don't know. I mean, I think that preventing runs, I think from a pitching standpoint, given the uniqueness of last year, I don't think anyone can answer that question with 100% certainty of how a 60-game season is going to impact a normal pitching staff through 162 games. And so I guess I would probably – I'm not worried about the defense. I know our defense took a step back last year, but I guess the biggest thing I'd probably say is how the workload is going to – you know, I'm probably a little more optimistic that we can – you know, as long as you have depth, I think you can handle the workload. But again, I don't think anybody's ever really had a great chance to look at this objectively and study it because we've never been in this position before.
Do you think Devin Booker's an all-star?
I do.
Is that an
I mean, I thought he was an all-star last year too, so or was it 2 years ago? So I think I mean, not to get out of my my sandbox, but I think Devin Booker is one of the best players in the NBA. So.
All right. Hey, I mean, that's a big deal. So we I wanted to make sure that we got to that. You know, this has been a theme, whether it's fair or not. All of us in the media ask every player, manager, general manager, president, uh-oh, the Dodgers and Padres are really good. And all of you say, we're ready. We're ready to compete. But really, as a general manager, or in your case, an assistant general manager, it's got to be a different view. Don't you have to look at the people around the division and say, here's what they have that I don't, and go get that?
Not necessarily. I think that I think it's well documented that we're in the NL West with two powerhouses. And when we walked in 2017, you know, everybody basically counted us out early on, and we were able to stay in the race and then went and got what we needed at the deadline. And I think that helped thrust us over the edge and got us to the playoffs. And so I think anything can happen in baseball. I do believe in the players that we have here. I think that 2020 was a bit of an aberration. I do think we have a chance to bounce back. Now, am I saying that we're going to unseat the Dodgers and the Padres on day one? No, but it's 162 games. It's a long season, and a lot can happen. And so, you know, going out to get that, winning the offseason isn't necessarily our goal. I think it's just playing to win every day in 162 games, putting ourselves in a position to, as you say, go get it, like, hopefully we are going to be able to go get that in the middle of the year.
Amiel, is there one kid on this team, one young guy that you look at and you say, you know what, I really like that kid. He could be a surprise on this roster. Who would that be?
I lost you for a second. Did you ask if there's one kid that could be a surprise?
Yeah, I did. If there's one kid, yeah, I'm sorry that you lost me. We're having issues with my mic for whatever reason this morning, but one kid that if there's a surprise to make the team, whom would that be?
You know, I don't know that there's necessarily one player in particular that would be a surprise. I think, like, we have a group of young players that we got a chance. One of the best parts about 2020 was tough, but one of the best parts about 2020 was getting a chance to see Pavin Smith and Varsho and Van Meter and Rojas and these guys in some little more extended looks. And so I think, you know, we have that opportunity now. They kind of brushed off their cobwebs and, you know, just a group of young players, you know, even some pitchers that came up. Riley Smith was one. Taylor Widener that came up towards the end of the year and flashed some really good stuff. So I think the great thing is we have competition in a lot of different areas, and we know we're going to need a lot of these young players, and we're going to see them this year.
Number one spot for that competition. Number five spot of the rotation, bullpen, first base. What are you staring down for spring training?
I think the bullpen is probably the biggest open competition. I think that, you know, we went into it with this offseason with the idea to add, we added Soria, and that was a big one for us, just kind of a veteran presence in there. And I think we've seen a lot of the guys over the years that have been in our bullpen. But we, you know, we've told a lot of our players, a lot, especially the young guys and some of the guys we're bringing into camp, that it is an open competition. And, you know, it's a little different than we've had in the past where we've had kind of the mainstays in our bullpen. But now we don't. And so there's going to be a lot of opportunity.
Amiel, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good luck on the year. There's Amiel Sade joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Nissan, go to coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. Coming up next, it's a new beautiful part of the program. Tell us what you think. We're going to go inside the locker room for a second. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.